Hi, and welcome to the QuitCast for Writers. This is the show that helps you know what to quit, what to keep, and what to question. My name is Becca Syme, and I am a success coach for authors with thousands of hours in coaching some of the most successful people in this industry. My goal in this podcast is to help you understand why you're not having success if you aren't, and how to double down on the success you're already having. Anyone can tell you what worked for them, and they can say it might not work for you, but they can't tell you why. I can tell you why. Welcome to the QuitCast.
Talking about writer's block. And specifically, we're going to question the premise of this phrase, there's no such thing as writer's block. So I want to talk first about why that sentence exists, right? Why do people say that? And I'm sure you've heard it enough, and you've heard people criticize the concept of writer's block enough that you are familiar with the logic behind this, but I want to talk about it just for a second, because there are some times when I think it is good to apply this statement to ourselves, right? So why would someone say that? Well, of course, in this industry today, for right or wrong, a lot of value is placed on the speed at which you get through manuscripts. And so, of course, when people think that there's an easy way to deconstruct this idea of writer's block and get you through your manuscript faster, then they want to do that, right? And so this idea of criticizing perfectionism and criticizing thinking and also criticizing just the concept of being stuck in your manuscript period has come in vogue recently because people are trying to help you be faster, right? They want you to get through your manuscript faster. And I think there's a lot of well-meaning intent behind this, because almost everyone that I've heard talk about this, with one exception, but almost everyone has a story for themselves of how they were stuck. And this idea of there's no such thing as writer's block, or eat the frog, do the hard part first, whatever it is, that the phrases that they're using, get rid of perfectionism, stop thinking, whatever. Everyone has a story when they're telling this about how it helped them get past something. It helped them to think of it this way. And so I want to be really conscious of saying there definitely are people for whom this idea of writer's block is not as accurate as it is for other people, right? Where the primary thing that's stopping them is fear. And therefore, what we need to do is deconstruct the fear. And I want to caveat this by saying there absolutely are some people for whom the way that they're wired and the way that they're motivated is to say, you know, stop being so lazy, stop overthinking, et cetera, and get the work done in sort of that very commandish kind of way. There absolutely are people for whom that is their best mode of motivation. And so I want to acknowledge, if that's you, then yeah, there's no such thing as writer's block. Quit being lazy and go get the work done, right? But the problem is that not everyone is being lazy when they get writer's block. Not everyone is getting writer's block from a place of negativity or where they need to just be motivated or criticized out of it, right? And so there is a lot of room in this industry. And I can say that from having coached thousands of writers at every level of their skill, at every platform level, at every income level. I've seen writer's block happen in literally every single level. So there's nothing that says you're immune to writer's block if you're making $1 million. There's nothing that says you're immune to writer's block if you're new. Everyone is potentially can suffer from it, even people who have never suffered from it before. In this burnout age, the number of people that I have seen suffering from writer's block for the first time in their career is pretty staggering. So it can happen to literally anyone. And when it does happen, if you tend to be the kind of person that you get very motivated by that sort of challenge or the criticism or the if critical thought or critical feedback motivates you, then by all means, that is the way to get yourself motivated out of writer's block, is to sort of snap your fingers and say, what's wrong with me? But that doesn't mean that it works for everyone, because not everyone's motivated that way. And additionally, not everyone's fear is coming from the same place, right? And not everyone's fear is actually unfounded. And so I want to talk about two different things when it comes to this fear section. So just a preview of what's upcoming in this series, we're going to talk about the different sources of writer's block when it does happen. And we're going to talk about both how to understand it, why it's happening, and then how to get out of it. Because of course, that's my goal, is for you to get out of the writer's block when it's happening. But one of the largest places that I hear this coming from, especially when we use the sentence, there's no such thing as writer's block, is fear, right? It's coming from fear of something. And so when that, all it takes is for you to just snap your fingers and say, oh, you're right. What am I doing? Of course I'll be fine. Let's keep going. When that is you and your personality, then that's great. Then that sentence works for you. And when it isn't, then I want to talk about why it's possible that it isn't. So one of the things that happens when you deconstruct a fear is that there's a logic process that happens. So you get trapped when you're in fear mode in this limbic emotional place, right? You are in the middle of a fear response, and that fear response is taking up all of your energy. And with certain kinds of fear, it is actually very easy for certain types of people to snap out of it just by reminding themselves, what am I doing, right? Like, I'm in a fear spiral right now. Let me just get out of it. And that's a different kind of emotional set for certain people than it is for others. And my bet is if you are that person, you know that you're that person. And so you're probably going to stop watching at this point. And that's fine, because you've gotten what you need to get out of this. But I want to caveat really quickly and just say, not everybody's like you. Not everyone is like you. And it's not possible for every single person to snap their way out of these fear spirals. And it's really important to know that sometimes writer's block and the fear that is created that makes you stop writing, it's actually really important to deal with that and to either acquire some kind of a skill to get yourself out of it, or to use this little tool that we're going to talk about in a second, because I think this is so important. So fear is the first place that we're going to address when it comes to writer's block. And when you have a fear that is stopping your progress in your manuscript and you're not able to snap your fingers out of it, what do? Right? So this is important to me. Number one, and this is the most important, is always be preemptive about it. The more you can remind yourself that you are going to be okay, that everything is going to be fine, that even if your sales go down, even if you get stuck, even if you don't write as fast as you want, you are still going to be fine. You are going to be alive. You are going to be cared for. You're going to be a good person. That kind of soothing, almost that parental sort of soothing of yourself preemptively, can keep some of that fear at bay when it does come up. And also, the more you can do to push yourself up to a place where you are not as susceptible to fear, like if you think of that, there's a scale of how emotionally viable you are, there's a scale, and the lower you get on that scale, the more likely you are to sink all the way down to the bottom, right? So it's like you get more and more weighted the more you allow the fear and negativity to come in, and you get less and less weighted the more you remind yourself of how you're going to be okay and everything's going to be fine. And specifically, and this is something I think is really important, specifically to name the reasons why you're going to be okay. Things like the market is unpredictable and it bounces back quickly, or it might take a downturn quickly, but it can take an upturn just as quickly. And so going to the immediate place where we are in the worst case scenario is pushing us down, 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 right? We want to remind ourselves it's just as possible for things to go up as it is for them to go down in this industry. It is unpredictable. The benefit of that is it's equally as unpredictable in a positive direction as it is in a negative direction. So we want to remind ourselves of that and be able to push ourselves up in resilience, right? So preemptive, reminding that everything's going to be fine. And the other second part of that preemptive is you also want to have a plan. Like, what happens if this worst case scenario happens? Okay, let me make a quick plan about this. Not because the plan is going to happen, but because if I have this plan and I am this type of person who needs a plan, then I'm prepared, right? I know exactly who I'm going to call. I know what my contingencies are. If I get a bad review, I know who my first text is going to be to, and I know that it is going to be hard, right? Because that's the other piece, I think, is that we do an awful lot of fear spiraling because we're trying to keep ourselves away from the fact that it's going to be hard. And so we want to just remind ourselves, it's going to be hard and it'll be okay. I am a resilient person. I will get through this. It's going to be fine. And that certainty that we feel can help with, like I said, with the preemptive part, that certainty can help us to deconstruct some of that fear. Okay. So if you haven't done the preemptive part as well as you'd like, or there are other factors that are dragging you down into this fear place, then we want to talk about what happens inside of the actual manuscript when you start to get blocked by this fear. So some of it is you always just want to question the premise of every thought that comes up when you get into that fear spiral. What happens if I get a bad review? But am I going to get a bad review? How do I know that? Right? Like that, just that moment sometimes of questioning the premise can be enough of a reminder to engage your logic center that it keeps the limbic away, right? It kind of keeps that limbic brain away if you can keep thinking logically about the way that things are going to happen. Do I usually get bad reviews? Is this something that happens to me a lot? What's happened before when I've had bad reviews? Have I been able to survive those? Am I still writing? Am I still publishing? How has that gone? What about other people who get bad reviews? Like, how do they handle it? And if you talk to anybody who's published widely and longly and had bad reviews before, you'll often hear them say, in fact, I would be shocked if you wouldn't hear them say, if they've really sold widely, that they have bad reviews and also like them. Like, I actually celebrate when I get bad reviews on things just because I know that that says something about the book. It says that either people are having a very big response to it, or it says that enough people are reading it that I'm starting to see people who aren't in my audience who read it. Like, there are all kinds of other reasons why bad reviews could be happening other than that it says something about who you are as a person, right? So we just want to always be engaging that question, the premise, and then the how has this happened before? How have I dealt with this? Instead of allowing the rhetorical questions to take over, right? Like we always say around here, no rhetorical questions allowed. That always helps with the fear spirals to just not get into the rhetorical questions at all. So if you're not able to do the preemptive part and the question, the premise part has not worked and you find yourself leaving the manuscript and being distracted. So we're going to talk about this a little more later when fear is not the problem, right? That's going to be our subsequent episodes, is the when fear is not the problem part. But when fear is still the problem and you found that you've left the manuscript, then we may have to kick into a little bit more aggressive of a plan, right? If you are genuinely, first of all, of course, if you are genuinely struggling with either depression, burnout, or some kind of diagnosed disordered thinking, you always want to default to what your therapist or psychiatrist has told you about how to handle this, right? The other piece that I think is really important is that some of us could really benefit from doing something like a cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT, DBT, or EBT are the three that I know of that are all skills-based emotional regulation skill sets, right? Like behavioral programs. And I think these programs are so important because they teach us the skills for how to soothe ourselves. And if any of you are interested in those, I'm going to put some links in the show notes. I think it's always really important to go to therapeutic level skills-based training because the people who are there are certified and licensed, and they are there to help you be at your best. And I think that's really important. But when the first first two options, the preemptive part and the question, the premise part, are not working, then we often have to go to a deeper level. And honestly, sometimes the best option, if your skills aren't working, is to walk away. That sometimes it's okay to be stuck and it's okay to let yourself be in that place, because the acceptance that you feel when you just allow yourself to be there is really important. And it's when that acceptance becomes a pattern, again, we want to cycle back around to the discussion we had at the very beginning. When you're not able to break the fear cycle, when none of the tools are working, sometimes there's a reason for that. And so we want to question, am I allowing fear to have a very big role in my writing? And if I am, then I probably need to get some support in that area. Circling back around again to the beginning, the eat the frog alone is not going to work when you are in that big of a fear spiral. And some of us are in those fear spirals for multiple reasons. Some of it is that right now there's a lot at stake for a lot of us. Some of us are thinking about, am I going to have to go back and get a day job again? Some of us are thinking about, are my sales tanking? Are my sales ever going to recover? Am I ever going to have a new release? Am I ever going to get out of burnout? Right? Like, I want to acknowledge those are not small fears. Those can be dangerous, eat the frog territory things for some of us, right? So if you are having those kinds of thoughts, you need to reach out and talk to somebody about that. If you are very scared about what's going to happen if something happens to you, the bad reviews, the low sales, the release doesn't go the way you want, etc., that's something you need to process with somebody. It might be one of our coaches. It might be your therapist. It might be a writing friend. I would encourage for you to talk to somebody who's high in empathy, who's high in individualization, who can help you really work through what's going on there. Because those things are not small fears. The bigger the consequences of the fear, the bigger your response is going to be. So when it comes down to your family's well-being, when it comes down to your own well-being, those are big, big, big things, right? That's not eat the frog territory. We don't want you to try to continue writing in that kind of a fear response. We want you to be able to work through that fear response. And again, I know I say a lot, go to therapy, but I'm just such a huge believer in what a good trained therapist can do for you, especially those who are skills-based people. Because with so many of us, what we're looking at is we didn't get the skills that we needed for whatever reason. It's not the fault of anyone in particular, but it is definitely if we don't have the skills, we need to have them. And not everyone regulates their emotions in the same way. And so again, that's why I push therapy so much. I have so benefited from the presence of a therapist in my life because I feel like the skills that I didn't have, that I didn't acquire, or that I didn't seek out, whatever the reason was that I didn't have them. Now that I have them, I'm a totally different person than I was before as far as my ability to self-regulate my emotions. And so I'm a huge, huge fan of that. But the reason I want to start off talking about fear in the very first episode on the Writer's Block series is because this is where that there's no such thing as writer's block phrase comes from. And that's what a lot of people who are doing this work in talking about writer's block are attacking, is that sense of fear about what's going to happen. And some of them are talking more helpfully in a generic way than others are. And I appreciate the people who are acknowledging at least the psychological effects, if not also the chemical effects, because both of those things are hugely important. And if you haven't ever read about the role that fear plays in just our like everyday life, read about the limbic brain, read the book Crucial Conversations, which is an incredible definition of how fear can control our communication patterns. Such a good book, so, so good. But it's important to understand how we respond in those moments so that we can know whether what we're feeling is that little fear that it's okay to just work through, or is it a fear that is a little bit bigger that we need a bigger tool or a bigger toolkit to be able to help us process that, right? So when we talk about fear as it relates to writer's block, where I want to land the plane is, if the only thing that you do when you're looking at your writer's block this week is to try to understand where your fear is coming from and to reach out for some help, that would be awesome. That would be so awesome. If you feel like it's a little fear and you want to try eat the frog, or if you're the kind of person who gets motivated by that, by the idea of just doing the hardest thing and not caring if you're afraid of it, that's good. That would be fine too. I'm not saying don't do that. I'm saying in my experience as a coach, the amount of people who have come to me who are genuinely lazy is almost zero. Like, I can't say completely zero because I'm sure there are people that I have coached before who are that, but none of them come to mind. Every person that I have helped with writer's block, and we're going to talk more about these in the upcoming weeks, everybody is in writer's block for a different reason. And when you can understand the source of it, when you can understand why it's happening and what it looks like, you have so much more control over it. And so understanding that the fear is coming from a biological response in your body, that all you need to do is know how to control that response, know how to control the emotion, or know how to control your own response to it, that can be really huge. Because if you can get control over that fear, then you can have more control over the speed of your writing if this is the place where it's coming from. And again, there are more sources than just fear, but that's a common one. And so I wanted to acknowledge that one first. So there's no such thing as writer's block. For me, is definitely a question the premise moment. For most of us, there absolutely is such a thing as writer's block, and understanding it and knowing where it comes from is the key to know how to fix it. It's very similar to getting a medical diagnosis. If you can understand what the underlying cause is, whatever the disease is that you have that you're going to get diagnosed, you can understand the underlying cause and there is a medicine out there, then you know to apply the medicine and it will fix the problem. What we're looking for in this series is the diagnosis of where the writer's block is coming from and the application of the right fix to get you out of it. And that's what I hope we're going to do. So again, in the upcoming episodes, in the next, I would say probably 5 to 6 weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to cover the different sources of where writer's block might be coming from. We're going to talk about the actionable advice about how to fix it. Because it's me, I'm probably going to remind you every single time to reach out for help, to get coaching if you need it, to get therapy if you need it, to get support if you need it. Because the biggest issue just overall with writer's block is that we try to handle it too much on our own. And we don't reach out quickly enough to find help from other people. And some of us are going to not need that. We might have high self-assurance. We might have high command. We just don't need that kind of support. But there's an awful lot of us who do. And so again, I'm just going to remind all of us to reach out for support. If you would like to be part of our ongoing coaching support network, we do have a free coaching newsletter. The way that that works is every week, I take a question that one of you has asked that would be a common coaching question. So not something that's like, where do I find more information about this or something like that, but actually, here's my situation, here's my struggle, and I want help with this. And we either trade emails back and forth, and then we publish those emails without your identifying information, or I publish a coverage of the discussion that we've had, or I try to coach you through the situation via email. And again, this goes out on the newsletter. So every week I take a different situation that's been submitted and we do a coaching email with that. And then that's what we release on the newsletter. And so if you haven't yet signed up for our newsletter, please do that. It goes out every Friday and we have one Dear Becca column every week. And below that link in the show notes, I will also publish the spot to be able to submit questions for the Dear Becca newsletter. But make sure that you do sign up for the newsletter if you submit a question, just so you know when it comes through. So I want to thank you all for being here this week. I know this was a difficult topic. This is always hard to talk about when it's something that a lot of writers struggle with, but that it's not always handled the same way by every single expert. And so I just want to acknowledge that I'm super grateful for the people who tackle this topic, even when they don't do it the way that I would do it. Because for whoever needs to hear it, I hope that there's an answer out there for every single one of us, based on the plethora of people who are discussing this right now. So if this makes you think of someone, please do share it with them. And I'm really excited about where we're headed from here. And so I hope you'll tune in next week to hear about the second source. So if fear was the first source of writer's block, then you're going to hear about the second source next week. So I hope you'll tune in and we'll see you in the next podcast. Bye.